Allahu Akbar,
This is the world broadcast of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
They want to keep the relationship so that they can exploit. And if the relationship become good, they can't exploit. So they give the woman an idea, they make the man think he's an ape, that God has made you an ape, macho man, Superman, right? Show the man with his bare hands knocking holes through stone walls, pulling up big trees by the roots. Isn't that what they show us in fiction? They show us that in fiction. The man, make him so tough. And then tell a woman, he better not strike you. He better not strike you. If he does, he better not come in my court. So they done excited your man to become a little young boy showing off his muscles and strength. And then tell him that you are his boss. And no matter what you do, he better not take his hand. He better not use his hand on you. If he does, he better not come to my court. See the trouble they make for relationships? That's designed to destroy the proper roles. Deny the dignity to the roles, husband and wife. Neither can be established while you're fighting over rights. The words of God in the Quran, ضربهن قليلا, strike them lightly. That's from God. God prescribed that. The wisdom in it, I don't think we'll ever decipher completely. But I can see just a great depth of wisdom in it. That if God has given me, God gave me this right. I don't have it of myself. I'm not carrying out my own authority when I strike my wife lightly for her wrong. I'm carrying out a provision given to me by God. And the Muslim wife will not see me striking her. She will see the law of God striking her. And from my hand it comes mildly, from God severely. God has checked my hand and told me not to apply it severely, lightly. But look how we have refused to accept what God provides, and now we are getting it severely. Severe brutalizing of the woman by the man, that's an issue right now in Western society. Now, it's not all that one-sided. Don't let the news fool you. Because I know a few friends who have been brutalized by their 8 wives. The prophet said, the best of you is the one who is best towards his wife. So when you quote the prophet, brothers, don't forget that quote. The best of you is the one who is best towards his wife. In his last pilgrimage, and his farewell address, the prophet dealt with this concern at length. He went on to say that if your wives lend themselves to depravity, you know what depravity is? A tendency to do wrong, to corrupt things, to turn the home or the society over to corruption and wrongdoing. He said, if your wife have a tendency, if my wife flirts with another man, isn't that leading our household down the road of depravity?
Yes, sir.
So the prophet didn't use my language. He's above us. The prophet said, much above us. The prophet said, if your women, quoting Quran, the word of God, are guilty of depravity, God has given you permission to separate yourselves from their beds. So don't forget, brothers, there's more than just striking them lightly. In fact, the first provision is separate yourselves from their beds. That's the first. Then if that doesn't bring about conformity or good sense, at least a respect for it, then God has given us a stronger measure. Says, strike them lightly. And in his farewell address, the prophet said, strike them, but not hard. Same thing he's saying what the Quran says. He says, strike them, but not hard. Now, if my wife shows a tendency toward lewdness, and that isn't that the issue? That's the issue of that of that particular provision. It is not that women will disagree with you. You can't be striking your wife for disagreeing with you. She has intelligence. You're not to strike her for disagreeing with you. Strike her because she won't say yes. We should spend $50 less next year, or $50 less next month on the children, and you strike her because she wouldn't knuckle down, wouldn't give in to your demands. No, it's not for that at all. It's when the wife is guilty of depravity. When she's threatening the health and order of a Muslim home. I've been among Muslim men in different countries, and I've seen their wives talk to them, and it made me kind of flinch. I said, boy, I don't take that for my wife. I didn't tell him that. So this wife, this society really gives us a lie to live. It puts woman up and you can't hit her. And it beats her up. It talks about rights and everything of man. The women take over. It talks about the dignity of women. And the women are the thing, the object in this Western society that is most in need of respect. They can't even sell you an automobile without disrespecting a woman. Can't sell you a cheap commodity over television or in a newspaper without cheapening the dignity of the woman. They got to use her as a sex lure. They use her as a sex lure to get your attention to the commodity they're trying to sell. Now, if that ain't disrespecting women, what is? And then lastly, the prophet says, they are like captives in your houses. This is what the prophet told the Muslim about 1,400 years ago in his farewell address. He said, they are like captives in your houses. Do we need women live to come and tell us that our women are like captives in the home? When Prophet Muhammad said it 1,400 years ago. Your women are like captive slaves, he said, in your house, in your houses. These are the words of the prophet. Now, I wonder how many Muslims have received the full impact of those words. Those who thought they were privileged by virtue of their muscles and manhood to lock her up in the house and to give her domestic servant jobs, I'm sure that when they heard those words, they thought that the prophet was saying, she is a slave in your houses. But what the prophet was doing was bringing it to their attention is that your woman is in a pitiful situation. She's at your mercy, and you got her locked up in the house doing cheap servant jobs as a slave. How do we know the prophet was against that? He said, it is a duty on the state to educate, on you, to educate both male and female. Look, ain't no way for a learned man to advocate equal education without advocating equal dignified roles in society, because education leads to equality of roles in society. No, when he told them your wives are captives in your houses, the prophet was bringing to their attention, to the civilized man's attention, to the healthy man's attention, the miserable plight and situation for women in those days. And I advise you, sisters, to change your attitude. And don't try to match muscle for muscle with your men. And don't threaten your man with the judge that has made himself a sissy. He's no man anymore. He just reads laws. He's out of touch with women, family life, and family responsibilities. I'm talking about most of our judges. They're out of touch with it. And he just want to be God. His law training has made him think that he's God. And he's not feeling himself functional until you bring him somebody to lord over. So he's anxious for you to drag your husband into court so he can lord over the matter and treat your husband as though he's nothing but a child. The African-American woman, she has that as a situation in her life more than any other woman. Came from the days of slavery. From before you even had access to the courts as citizens. The master would tell Sadie, if that nigger give you any trouble, let me know. I'll give him a lashing right before his children. Take your husband and beat him like a boy right before his children. That's the kind of thing your man has to overcome. And he can't do it without your help. So, sisters, don't try to match muscles with your men. God has given the man, by and large, a superiority over you in terms of his physical physique and in the wealth that he's able to amass. But the same Lord says, and in terms of rights, he has given the women rights over men, and he has given the men rights over women. So there's equality before the court of God. And it doesn't take nothing from a more educated woman, if she's really educated. It takes nothing from her to give the man that margin of superiority. Not if she's an educated woman, it takes nothing from her. You may be a college graduate, and your husband, maybe he didn't even finish high school or didn't get into high school. Don't let that make you act wrongly, carry an air of superiority over him. That destroys the house. That man must be left with some respect. He must be left with some dignity. If you have married him, then it shames you that you have to treat him that way. Why would you marry a man that you can't respect? So I believe, like a lot of the analysts, the African-American analysts, they're writing now in different publications, little small periodicals, and they're saying that if there's going to be a change for the better, the women are going to have a great role.
Yes, sir.
And I know the imam has gone as far as he can go. If you sisters don't help me, we're finished. These men are not yet accepting their responsibility. They are not yet accepting to be husbands and fathers. And I believe that it's because you are not making it possible for them. Encourage them, show them respect, and when they do something that merit respect or merit acknowledge your acknowledgement, acknowledge it. It's so hard for our women to admit that we did a little good. That's no good. Now, I wouldn't be talking long like this on Friday, but I think some of you spent too much time with the turkey yesterday. So we just want to put things back into proper balance. Don't take it out on each other. But obey God because you know it's correct. And see the authority as it should be seen. It's God's authority. It's not mine. It's not yours. And let God settle our disputes. Let Allah and His word in the Quran settle our differences. Peace be upon him, the prophet said. And if you differ, the Allah says first, and if you differ in a matter, bring it to God. How are you going to bring it to God? With your heart? With your faith? How are you going to get an answer from the Quran? Sometimes through your conscience, too. But if you want the word of God, there it is. It's here, the Quran. And take it to his messenger. Take it to the authority of the prophet, the son of the prophet. See how he lived and how he discharged his responsibility, how he acted in a given situation. So we have an answer. Then when we see the answer, let's not take it out on each other. Like a brother may insist that certain things be not be brought in his house. If it's pork, then the wife, if she's a Muslim, should have, she should be supporting him. She should be saying it first.
Right. Yeah.
Because the responsibility is first on her.
Yes.
When it comes to what to cook in the house, what to serve in the house, right? But when it comes to what color paint gonna be on the wall, what design, what wallpaper or bare walls, rugs or linoleum, brothers, let the sisters decide. As long as you can afford it. And let me tell you, if you start tugging with her in matters like that, man, she's going to really wear you out. She knows how to wear you out. So just quit tugging with her. Just quit tugging with her. And let her decide whether it's going to be green paint or blue paint or something like that or white paint. You let her decide that. But, you know, I don't know what it is. But some of our men, they look like they long for lost womanhood. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with our men. They just want to take over the woman's role. If he had nipples, he would nurse the baby. Milk glands. If he had milk glands, he would even nurse the baby. Just want to take over a woman's role. Woman can't say nothing to the children without him jumping in. Hey, wait a minute. Now, I think the boy ought to do such and such. You don't disrespect the rights of your wife to instruct the children in her presence? Terrible. You want to decide everything. If you decide everything, then where is her responsibility? We say she's the woman of the house. And then we want to decide all household problems and household things.
Right.
How in the world can she be the woman of the house when you're deciding a household situation? Household problems, you're making all the judgments. Some of us even got to tell the wife what to cook and how to cook it. I don't like my food like that. But if you don't like your food like that, how come you didn't marry that woman that was giving you your food the way you like it? Look, I'm telling you, you have to learn how to give and take. That's the key. Learn how to give and take. And if you'll do it, Allah will bless you with a better relationship. My wife is not here today, and she stays mad at me because she says, "You just always embarrassing me and mentioning my name before the people." She's right, but I need you all's help. So, my wife, she said, "Wallace, you're a good cook." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I like my cooking. I like yours too." The first time I told her that, I was really hiding the facts. When I said I liked her cooking, I was talking about I liked the way she warmed up. Campbell Soup's recipe. But look, because I showed appreciation for the amount that she was able to do in the kitchen, that woman kept working at it, and now I told her, I said, "Shirley, I'd rather eat your food than eat anybody else's." And I'm not exaggerating. Now, some people can cook better certain pie than maybe Shirley can, certain dishes, but on the whole, I'd rather eat Shirley's food than anybody else's. Because she has learned me, she has learned the family, she's learned me, and she cooks for us. But I didn't teach her, and I didn't force her, and I didn't lead her. She found a way to satisfy us. So I hope we can accept what Allah has prescribed for us and stop imposing ourselves on each other as authorities and almighty. And when you make a demand, be sure that your demand is allowed in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And then don't present it as your demand. Say, God demands this of us, darling. And you'll find you have a better relationship. So I conclude by saying the first relationship is a relationship with God. And if you're still in your normal state, you have the fear of God in you by nature. So you can come to respect God as you should. Then the next relationship is a relationship with your creation, with the creation, the creatures. And if you study Quran and the life of the Prophet, you and follow it, you will be the most excellent people on this earth in your treatment of each other and God's creatures. And crucial for us, or very critical for us, as a poor people, misguided people in this society, is our relationship with each other as husband and wife. And we ain't gonna get no answer from Ann Landers. We ain't gonna get the answer from the television soap operas. Or from Psychology Today. Or none of that stuff. We have to get the answer from the sources, the pure sources. God, who cares for us all. Then we'll be successful. So, dear beloved Muslims, let us support our establishment, our investments, our properties, and let us all identify in concern as shareholders, equal shareholders. You see something threatening your property, destroying the image that we would like to have of our properties, then let everyone feel and know that you are shareholders. And bring it to the attention, if you're not able to do it yourself, bring it to the attention of those who are responsible for that particular job or matter. And if we don't get results, then insist upon their removal. But be willing also to share the burden, because you know one custodian or two custodians, sometimes not enough. So let us be willing to volunteer and help. Keep the place nice. Keep property up. This religion gives us respect for property, for everything that God has created. There's a sacred respect due whatever God has created. So let us have that respect for our properties and support these investments, because they are expensive and burdensome.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. Copies of the national broadcast tapes may be obtained through the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation. For full information, see their advertisement in the American Muslim Journal newspaper. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Zakat, Z-A-K-A-T, Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Thank you. Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening. This is the world broadcast of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم الصراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Dear beloved Muslims, we put our complete trust in Allah, the one and only Lord. We ask His forgiveness for our mistakes, for our sins. I worship Him alone. There is nothing like unto Him. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. We pray the peace and the blessings be upon Muhammad, the messenger of God, upon his descendants, his companions, the righteous all, and upon us be peace. Ameen. Allah Most High says in the Quran, وَالشَّمْسِ وَدُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا ونفس وما سواها فألحمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. By the sun and his glorious splendor, by the moon as it follows it, by the day as it shows up the sun's glory, by the night as it conceals it, by the firmament and its wonderful structure, by the earth and its wide expanse, by the soul and the proportion an order given to it, and its enlightenment as to its wrong and right. Truly he succeeds that purifies it, and he fails that corrupts it. Dear beloved Muslims, these verses with the great beauty and wisdom, revelation, can be commented on by men more learned than I am to make volumes on just these few verses. We want to concern ourselves today with this, just the responsibility, the personal responsibility that we have.
to ourselves. God says that he has ordained that the soul should have its enlightenment and its taqwa, and its conscience. Conscience. Not just a mind, but conscience. Many of us have forgotten what conscience is. We're required to have more than just a mind, but have a conscience. Be concerned about what you are doing, what you're giving yourself to, your behavior. Be concerned for your behavior. And the first obligation is to Allah, who created you and made possible everything for you. The first obligation is to him. However, that obligation is also to yourself. We sometimes are treated too easy in the world. Too many people are taking care of us, bearing our burden. But we have to bear our own burden as much as we are able to. That's a sacred responsibility too. Not first as respect for God, but it is a sacred responsibility to do as much as you can, to care about yourself, to care about doing as much as you can to take care of yourself, rather than pass it on to other people. We must accept the burden for education. Every individual should be concerned for his own education and should accept some responsibility. God has intended that we be enlightened. Fujuraha, it's enlightenment. Enlightenment means education. You cannot become enlightened without education. God educated the prophet, taught him himself. We are not prophets. We have to get it by way of study. By way of study, devotion to the sciences that have already been established. We have to devote ourselves to learning. Accept the responsibility to gain knowledge that we may become an enlightened people, an enlightened society, an enlightened member in society. Wa taqwaha, and its conscience. This is more than conscience. This government excuses persons who, because of conscience, do not participate or do not accept to participate in war. They give a status for them. They call it conscientious objector. I know because I got that status myself. I registered and the judges gave me that status. Conscientious objector. Conscientious objector. So here is the court of the land. Will respect the conscience of a person if they determine upon examination, because they examined me. They had to write something and they had to talk to me. Upon examination, if they find that you're truly moved by conscience to do what you are doing, they will respect that. But not just notion, not to just be moved by notion, to be moved by feeling. No, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. Conscience is deeper than emotion and motion and notion and feeling. Conscience, real conscience, true conscience, deeper than that. It's a law commitment to something because you feel that your soul is indebted, and that if you don't go through with it, you stand the risk of losing your own soul. That's the deep consciousness that we see in the word taqwa, When we fear God like that, that's taqwa. When we love, fear, and respect Allah like that, that's taqwa. That we are afraid to behave in a way that would take us out of His favor. That's taqwa. When we have that kind of sacred respect for what Allah has required of us, if Allah has required of us that we behave properly, that we seek knowledge, that we live a virtuous life and seek knowledge, if God has required that of us, then we have a sacred respect for it. We have a sacred respect for it, and we should bear that responsibility. Work hard to improve yourself. Say, he who corrupts it fails. God has said this. Oh, what will definitely cause you to be a failure in life? If you allow your soul to give in to corruption. If you leave your soul to corruption, God said that's a sure failure, definite failure, guaranteed failure. You know what corruption is? Vulgar taste. That's corruption. Disrespect for morals. Disregard for moral values. That's corruption. Giving yourself to the common sins of the world is corruption. And God says whoever gives himself to corruption will certainly fail. That's guaranteed that you will fail if you give your soul to corruption. The word means debase it. If you will give your soul to low things, if you give your soul to low motives, low desires, inferior situations, if you lend your soul to those inferior kinds of things, vulgar taste, vulgar appetite, disregard for high standards, if you lend your soul to those things that debase you, that drop you down, that make you low, then God says that's a sure failure for you. Allah says in our Quran, that is a sure failure for you. And what is the mood in the culture of the popular society? Get down, get down, get down. Let go. Right? It encourages you to become vulgar. Low. To disrespect moral standards. So God says if you give yourself into that, you will become a sure failure. Then those records, those songs that are encouraging you in that direction, they are trying to make you a sure failure. The purpose is to guarantee your failure, that you will not succeed in life. And look how God has paired the two, or put the two right next side by side. Fujuraha wa taqwaha, enlightenment and taqwa. In the very beginning of the Quran, what does it say? Hudan lil muttaqeen. This is guidance for the muttaqeen, those who cherish taqwa. Those who cherish taqwa. That devotion of conscience to God that carries us to death before we give up the respect for the God. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. This translation, this word زَكَّاهَا, it translates who purifies it. And another translation gives it as who spins on it. Who spins on it. Charity is an exercise that brings about the process of purification. Charity. Whoever gives charity with a pure heart, increase in purity. That person increases in purity. Charity itself has a way of promoting the purity of the individual, the purity of the soul. In fact, all the essentials of this religion, the five that are given to us, if we practice them, they all promote the purification of the soul. which prevents it from being debased. Devotion to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Salat, prayer, Zakat, charity, Psalm or Siyam, fasting, and Hajj, devotion to these, all work for the purification of the soul and prevent us from falling down and becoming low and vulgar, base people, and enable us to have an opportunity for the advancement of our intellect and our heart, our sentiments. He who will spend on it, or he who purifies it, will certainly succeed. And he who debases it, lends it to vulgar life, is certain to failure. Certain to be a failure. So let us pray God that we keep taqwa, the right respect for Allah, respect for our duty, our obligation to Him, to whom we owe everything. And that we carry out the responsibilities assigned to us in this religion for the good of our own souls. For God says, and He wrongs not a people, but they wrong themselves. And the prophet Abraham, when he recognized the difference between the false gods and the true gods, what did he say? Ni zalamtu nafsi, I have wronged my own soul. Under falsehood. And he asked forgiveness and pardon. He prayed to God for forgiveness and pardon. And all of us should take that same attitude. In the light of truth, we should accept what is true and right. And admit our shortcomings, our defects, confess our faults to God, and ask Him for forgiveness. And trust that that position will put you in a good situation to grow in purity and in excellence. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Dear beloved Muslims, Prophet Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be upon him, he has, as the word of God, he has also promoted interest in education and interest in dignity. Not a proud, a pride, an ugly pride, but a noble respect for yourself and others, that will make you work to improve upon yourself so that yourself measure up in your own eyes or in your own estimation. But if you don't keep this noble image of yourself before you, then you will lose respect for yourself, become to disregard yourself, or to place little value on yourself. And in doing that, then you will be subject to follow the ways of destruction. Because people who care nothing about themselves then are open for the ways of destruction. But if you care about yourself, if you have some value on yourself, place a value upon yourself. Allah has. God says He has certainly made respectable all the children of Adam. Now, if He has said that, He has said that He has created you with a nobility, with a respect. But you have to give it a chance to flower, to blossom, to live. You have to give it a chance. And if you don't respect what God has said, and then turn with respect for yourself, based upon what He has said about your excellence, then you are lost. You're lost and you're hopeless. You're just subject to being abused and misused and led into the ways of destruction. You're a failure if you don't accept to respect the noble idea or the noble concept of the man that God has established in this religion. And that includes all of us. It's not for one race, it's for all of us. You must understand that. The prophet has obligated us to love and respect each other. You are not a Muslim unless you love for your fellow man what you love for yourself. That's what the prophet has taught us. And whoever will act in the interest of God's creature, the prophet says God will act on his behalf in the judgment. So these are teachings of the prophet. We shouldn't take them lightly. And the prophet has said to the man, to the parent, if you will educate two daughters, the paradise will be yours. Look at the importance that's put upon responsibility to educate. And we're looking for the government to pay for education. We're looking for us to establish in this little poor community that's supported by nothing but people in your same situation or worse. We're looking for us to establish a department of zakat to take care of your tuition. But you can take care of your funds. You can take care of your funds. You can pay for FUN. And you don't look like the people of Ethiopia. You're fat. You're feeding yourself. Do you care about your children's education? That's a Muslim obligation, to care about your children's education. God has obligated us with the Quran. The Prophet has obligated us with the Sunnah. Now, there's a role for government. There's a role for the community to play, certainly. If there's money within our reach, we have to respect the needs of the community. If the school has needs, we have to give. And right now, we're giving a great percent, an enormous percentage of the charities just to this one school. Is that fair? One school in the United States? We're not the only Muslim school. There are many Muslim schools in the United States. Why should we take that great percentage of the charities for Chicago? No, you should pay your tuition. So let us accept our responsibility to ourselves. That's what it is. Responsibility to ourselves. What God needs? Nothing from us. He said he has no need from anything in the creation. So what is all this revelation and what is all this religion for? For your needs. For my needs, to help us. That's what it's for. And that's love. If parents could exercise that kind of love in their household, toward the members of their household, where they are not doing things for their own selves, for themselves, that they may look better or that they may be loved, but they are doing it purely for the sake of those that need it, wouldn't it be a beautiful family? But many of us fool ourselves. And we love another person just so we would be loved. We love selfishly. We give selfishly. All of it is for personal promotion. It's no good. That's sin. But many of us have slipped into that. We are not really sinful people. We've just followed the society. But understand our religion and let's be good people and appreciate Allah first. And then look at revelation, at your religion, your Quran, and the teachings of the prophets, and learn what is your responsibility on this earth. And do your best to carry that out.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. Copies of the national broadcast tapes may be obtained through the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation. For full information, see their advertisement in the American Muslim Journal newspaper. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Zakat, Z-A-K-A-T, Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Thank you.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Watif Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening.